Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today we celebrate a day that changed everything, really the ultimate day that changed everything. Easter Sunday, when our Lord was resurrected. Now, while it's sad that we might not be able to join together to celebrate, we're not going to let that sadness overcome the joy that we have in the resurrection of our Savior. Because even though while the church might be empty, so is the tomb. So today we're going to celebrate that fact and look at what that means for us, not just now here in this life, but also forever and ever, especially on the last day. So while you're there at home, if you'd like to join us, you can download the worship folder. You can find that on our website. And may God bless your worship this morning as we begin with hymn 157 in Christian worship, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The Lord's right hand is majestic in power. The Lord's right hand has shattered the enemy.
In the greatness of his majesty, he threw down those who opposed him.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another.
How my heart yearns within me.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We now confess our sins to our Lord and Savior.
Upon the hill, the cross now stands empty. Morning light breaks upon the tomb. As we come before our God and King, let us confess our sins.
Lord God, I humbly come before you. I confess that I am sinful in thought, words, and deed. I daily fail to do what you command and continually do what you forbid. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I believe that for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ, you will have mercy on me. Upon this, your sincere confession, by Jesus Christ's command and authority,
I assure you that your sins are all forgiven. The vacant cross and the empty grave are God's signs to you that he has accepted the sacrifice of his one and only Son. Whoever believes this simple truth of Scripture has eternal life. The Lord is righteous and gracious.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we, who have been raised with him through baptism, may walk in the newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise, now and forever. Amen. We respond with this joyful Easter tide, Christian worship number 160.
Thank you.
Our first lesson for this Easter morning comes from Jonah chapter 2. Our Lord Jesus used Jonah, the prophet, as a picture often for his resurrection, how Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, so Jesus would spend 3 days in the tomb but rise to life. Here, Jonah, as he's in the fish, recognizes what the Lord has done for him. He saved him, and therefore we echo with him, salvation comes from the Lord. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and to your temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. The word of the Lord. We now listen to a song from the choir as they bring back the Alleluias.
Thank you.
lesson for this Easter morning comes from Colossians
chapter 3, where Paul tells us that since Christ lives, so do we. Therefore, we have a charge, and we can fulfill that charge confidently because of what awaits us. From Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord. The gospel lesson for this Easter morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, where we see the account of Jesus' resurrection in Matthew, and where Jesus rose to life just as he said. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We join together in the hymn of the day, "He's Risen, He's Risen," Christian worship number 143. God's grace and peace to you, and they are yours, and you know it, because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. The sermon text for this Easter morning comes from Colossians chapter 3 in the second lesson, if you'd like to follow along. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your life. Amen. You know, there are just some things that just go together. They just do. Things like peanut butter and jelly, ketchup and mustard, salt and pepper, bread and butter, chocolate and mint, chocolate and peanut butter, chocolate and caramel. Let's just save some time here. Chocolate and anything, right? Now, I know that you might disagree with me on a few of those. My wife certainly does. I also know that I just mentioned all foods, so I'm not sure what that says about me. But whatever it is for you, I'm sure you could come up with a pair that is just a great pair. They just go well together. Well, God has this pair that he has made, and he says they go pretty well together. They didn't before. Not until he saved us, but they do now, all thanks to Christ's resurrection. The two things that God says go well together, the Christian and life. They're just perfect for each other. The Christian has been raised to life spiritually. Someday it will be raised to life physically. That means forever and ever, thanks to Christ's resurrection, we will be like this with life. Forever. But there are some things in this world that try to tear this pair apart. There are some things that can work against this pair that God has made, and because of that, we can get worried. We can wonder if this pair will really last and what it'll mean for us in the end. So, this morning, Paul is going to remind us in Colossians chapter 3 of what the resurrection of Christ means for us. Not just in the here and now, but also what it means for us someday. All in all, Paul is going to remind us that God has made and secures the perfect pair. In the first two chapters of the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul basically explains how this perfect pair came together. He talks about the supremacy of Christ, how Christ is supreme over everything, even death. And therefore, we hear, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. The sin that brought death spiritually and eventually physically and eternally. It's been taken and paid for. 100%, that's what we talked about on Friday. It is finished. It's done. And not just did Christ die for that sin, but he also rose to life again. That tomb was empty when it opened. And what that means is that God took this message of what he did for you, and when he struck your heart, he brought you to life right along with Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that has risen you spiritually in your heart right now. What God has done is he has connected you to that power of life that Christ displayed. You are made alive with Christ, as Paul says. And now in Colossians chapter 3, what Paul is going to talk about is, now that you've been raised like this, you have this life, now you are to live in this life. It's the way that we can honor God for making this perfect pairing. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Christ has been raised, he has been exalted, he's been seated at the right hand of God, the mighty hand. He directs and guides everything for his people. That means that there is nothing that can stop us. We have been freed from sin, and we can rise above the muck of this earth and set our hearts on Christ where he is in heaven. And how do we do that? We set our hearts on things up there and think of all of the beautiful heavenly truths, the things above that we've been given to set our hearts and minds on. We have the gospel of forgiveness and peace with God. We can hear it when we read God's word. We can remember our baptisms. That's where God says that we were connected to Christ's death and resurrection. We can partake of the Lord's Supper. Sadly, not right now, but we will again. All of these ways, we have the gospel where we can be strong in this life that God has given us. Take hold even more of this pairing that God has made. But not just that. We can have our faith strengthened also by all of the other spiritual knowledge God has in his word too. Think of everything that God has revealed about himself, who he is, his characteristics and his attributes, and think of the comfort that that brings to you and me. God is all powerful. He knows all things. He is present everywhere. He is holy and righteous. He is just. He is loving. He is gracious. And it's not just who he is, it's what he's done. Take a look at all of Scripture. It's basically a history of salvation, a history of promises kept. It reveals that God is the great promise keeper. Pretty important for the life that we expect someday. And here, as we're waiting, the spiritual knowledge also includes the Ten Commandments, where we can thank God for this life that we have. All of this spiritual knowledge in the Scriptures we have is what makes us filled with life, brimming with it, and one spiritual above thing that we can actually set our minds and hearts on is another thing, where it overflows with life. Now we can share this life in what we do. We can show the goodness to others. We can show kindness to them. Instead of doing things for ourselves, we can season everything that we do with God's grace. We can even share this with what we say to others. Think of how full of life our conversations are now that Christ is risen. We can season everything with God's grace. We can be those who are life-giving as we tell people about Christ's cross and empty tomb. Look at the change that God has brought about. We were dead, and now we are alive. Not just alive ourselves, but pouring out this life to others. Quite the change, and you can see with all of this why God says it is the perfect pair. You and I, living in this life, setting our minds on things above. But we also know that we don't always set our minds on things above. That's why Paul has to say next, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He knew that there are temptations in this world, earthly things that try to take hold of this life. They try to tear us apart from this pair. In context here in Colossians, Paul's talking about false teachings mostly. Think of the ideas that we let our minds and hearts get set on. We can have ideas that appeal to our human reason, or that make us fit in better with the culture around us, or just things that we think sound better, even though they go against God's word. But it's not just these false teachings that tear us away from life. It's obviously the earthly things like sin, too. There are the more blatant things like greed and lust and anger. There are the more subtle things like selfishness, pride, envy. We could go on and on with these lists. These are all earthly things that try to tear apart this bond with life that we have. And I guess that just leads us to the question of why in the world would we ever entertain them? We've been paired with life, and we know these things are wrong. We know that they are death and they lead to death. And yet, sometimes we can set our hearts and minds on them. It's almost as if we think that we're impervious to the death that threatens us. But we have to remember, we have great enemies. We have Satan, who knows how to drive us to these earthly things. We have our sinful natures who work really well with Satan, and they try to get us to take pleasure in these earthly things. But I think sometimes we can blame Satan and our sinful natures almost as like if it's separate from us. No, really what it all comes down to is something that's our fault. With all of these things, when we set our minds on these earthly things, what we're doing really simply is forgetting the resurrection. We're forgetting that Jesus rose to life. It's almost as if we think the tomb never opened. We act like Jesus didn't really die and therefore allowed us to die to these things. We act as if Jesus didn't rise to life, connect us to Him, and now expects us to live in this life. And it almost seems like we think death and us are a good pair sometimes. But the more we do that, the more we run the risk of being torn apart from God's perfect pair. All because we forget about something that He has proven, that Christ did rise to life. So there's something else we need to be reminded of. Because along with all of this comes fear and worry and doubt and wonder, are we going to make it? Are we going to last against all of these enemies? So Paul reminds us of something next. He says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." You died. You're dead. In God's eyes, when Christ died, so did you. He took all of those sins, those times when we set our hearts and minds on earthly things, and He nailed them to the cross. He took all of those times when we forget about the resurrection, and He buried them, ironically, in the tomb along with Him. Only they were to never rise again. They were going to be there forever. Never brought up again. Gone forever. You died. And not only did you die, God raised you to life. Right along with Christ, as sure as Christ rose from the dead, so have you. Just because we forget about it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And it did, brothers and sisters. God rose us to life. Now, the difficult thing for you and I is that this life can't be seen. It's hidden. As Paul says, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." We can't see this spiritual life inside of us. That's why all of these earthly things can appeal to us so easily, because we can forget about the thing that we don't see. The world can't see it either, and so they draw us into all of these earthly, sinful, deathly things. And as they do, we can worry like, oh no, I can't see the spiritual life. How can I protect it? I can't see it. Do I still have it? But here's where we just take a deep breath and realize that yes, it's hidden, but where is it hidden? Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Could there be a more secure place for your life to be than with Christ? He's the one who came and fulfilled every little thing God said would happen. You think He's not going to fulfill the future either? No, He said, "It is finished," like we said on Friday, and He will make sure this is finished too. Could it be any more secure than in God? God is the creator and the author of life. He is the one that brings life just by speaking His word. He is the one that planned your eternal salvation so that He could live with you forever. Your life is in the most secure place it could possibly be. It's almost as if it's in like 16 Brinks trucks that are in this huge bank vault that's all in Fort Knox. Nobody's going to get to it. Sin can't nullify it. No enemy can tear it apart. God has secured it, and it's yours. And yeah, you can't see it now, but oh, it will be seen someday because it rests secure. It will be seen. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ is coming again on the last day, and when He comes back, He is going to be shining in all of His glory as He raises all the dead, and everyone will see you shining in glory too. Why? Because Christ is your life. Christ has this glory, and you were connected with him. God made the perfect pair. And someday, not any enemy, the devil or all the people who try to tear this apart from you, not your sin that weighs you down, is going to be able to stand and look at this glory. You're going to be shining so bright. All because Christ is your life. All because God has paired you. So yes, in the meantime, it's going to be tough. It's hidden for now. We can't see it, but we do know it rests secure. And we can take heart because we know what to do. Not only is our life secure, now that we know that we can set our minds on things above. We can go back to the cross and the empty tomb, not just once a year, but daily. And really every moment that we need it. Because if you want a stronger life, if you want a stronger connection, well, there's no better place to go than the source of that life, the empty tomb. So yeah, peanut butter and jelly, ketchup and mustard, chocolate and anything, great pairs. But they don't compare to the one that God has paired. Things just go together, just like the Christian and life. The perfect pair. May God bless you as you live in this life and as you know that your life is secure. All thanks to Christ. Amen. May God guard your heart and your faith as he keeps your life secure with Christ in him. Amen. We now confess our faith in what Jesus did for us, according to the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with its explanation in Luther's Catechism.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him and his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true.
At this time, while we're not able to collect our thank offering here, we do give thanks to God for the opportunities that we still have for that. You can go to our website under the Resources tab. You can find the giving page. You can also mail in your check into the church office. We thank you for your support of the ministry. We now continue with the prayer of the church, which incorporates, I know that my Redeemer lives, Christian worship number 152. We praise you, O God, for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In him is life. We thank you that as he lives, so we have been given new life also.
Empower us by your Holy Spirit to live as your children for your glory. Pour your grace on your church, that its witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ may be clear and bold. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Like the disciples, O Lord, sometimes we are almost afraid to believe the news that Christ is alive and that we have life in him. Fears and doubts threaten to overcome us. Strengthen us by your word. Encourage us by the daily return to the new life we have in our baptism. Nourish us by the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus in the Lord's Supper, that our doubts may be banished and our fears eased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all grace, your care for us knows no bounds. When we mourn, you comfort us. When we suffer, you strengthen us. When we are ill, you heal us and help us endure. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life and death, we give you thanks for all who have gone before us in the faith. On this day of resurrection, we give you thanks for the promise that for those who trust in you, death is but a doorway to eternal life. Give us a faith that trusts in you in the hour of our death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Join together in the prayer that our risen Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn. Good morning once again. Thanks for joining us online. Big thank you to all of those who are serving for us. Just a few announcements for you. We will have no Bible study today, Easter Sunday, nor Sunday school, but there are materials online for you to take a look at. You can find them under the Stay Connected page on our website. That also includes some Sunday school lessons from Christlight materials that are from Northwestern Publishing House. Other devotional materials are also on that website if you haven't checked it out. Some of that is following along with our Facebook page and our Instagram account as well. You can find those links in your worship folder at the beginning as well. One big announcement, Synod-wide online Easter celebration is coming up later today, Easter Sunday, at 4 p.m. here in our time. So if you can get online, you can find the link in our weekly news, you can find it on our website, you can find it in the email that was sent out with the weekly news. And when you click on that link, it'll bring you to the live stream. And you can worship with people all over the world, really, in the wells that are going to be worshiping on Easter. So sadly, while we aren't able to come together, we can still, in a very unique way, all of us come together with our church body. One more reminder about offerings. As the Lord has given us life, part of that life is also good stewardship for Him. So thank you for your continued stewardship. Once again, you can find that link on the Resources tab under Giving, and just an easy way for us to thank our Lord for what He's done. One more time, brothers and sisters, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. God is good. May God bless your Easter.